Thank you for reading that, Jay. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We'll be building a sermon upon that this morning. I want to take a couple notes. One, to mention that tonight we'll be covering Acts 13 in our series on the book of Acts. And it's a very, very enjoyable chapter. If you're not planning to do something at 5:30, well, we're planning to have you here, so try to come back. Also, Sarah Blaine, Jeannie Blaine's granddaughter, was, as you, many of you received an email, was in a terrible car accident, and she is gravely ill. She could use your prayers now more than ever. She has a lot of health situations. The family's down there, and I did speak with her dad and let her know that the entire congregation will be praying for her well-being during this time, and she's in very, very bad shape, and so you need to be praying for her. Remember to have her mentioned in our closing prayer as well, whoever has the closing prayer. The verse that Jay read, "But as many as received him, them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name." We're introduced to a concept in that passage of the child-father relationship that is a frequent principle in the Scriptures. It's a common theme throughout the Bible to associate the people of God, God as Father, and we as children. And the fourth lesson in the series on Galatia, on the book of Galatians, is about being the sons of the kingdom of God. When we overlook that aspect of us, on who we are, who we can become and shall be in Christ, we're at risk of losing the joy that God wants us to have. And so this father-son, father-children, father-daughter concept we find in the Bible is definitely there. Matthew 6, verse 9, the pattern, "Our Father who art in heaven." In the pattern of prayer, he is our Father. Matthew 23, 9, "One is your Father, he who is in heaven." 1 John 3, 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." I'm here to remind you, I'm here to bring to your heart and your mind this morning that you are children of God above reproach and in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. We're called to shine as lights in the world, but we are the children of God. You have royal blood flowing in your veins as you were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be a child of God? I'm going to cover 3 points from Galatians as to what I believe it emphasizes. The aim of this lesson is to examine the words of Paul and better understand the concept of being a child of God from God's perspective, because that's the one that matters. Number one, being a child of God means that we share in the family of God. Being a child of God means we share in the family of God. Look at Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Open your Bibles up to that. If you could follow along. Don't rattle your pages too much as you turn to Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed into Christ, have been clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. In the previous lesson, we discussed an argument that Paul made to the Galatians that you are justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. In verses 26 through 29, he's making a conclusionary statement that says that it is through faith that we are made the sons of God. Now, according to Bible historian and scholar William Barclay, if a Gentile man wanted to be converted to Judaism, he had to do three things. Number one, you had to be circumcised. Number two, you had to offer sacrifice. And number three, you had to be baptized. That's to convert to Judaism. This water concept of conversion was not some weird, far-out concept to accept for the Jew. To become a Jew, you had to be baptized. And the details of this Jewish baptism is as follows. Now remember, this is a Jewish baptism. This is how specific they were on it. Don't think that this is the Christian baptism. There are some similarities, but if you're not familiar with baptism, these probably don't apply to you. Ready? The man had to cut his nails and hair prior. Now, that would be good if you were a beautician, if you had to have your hair and nails done before you're baptized. But back then, you had to have that done to convert to Judaism. You had to be completely undressed. The baptismal had to contain 40 seahs, which is approximately 66 and a half gallons of water. Okay. Confession had to be made before three men referred to as the fathers of baptism. The water had to cover every part of the body. And while in the water, parts of the law were read and benedictions were pronounced upon the convert. And when he came up out of the waters of baptism, it was announced that the conversion was now complete. It was never ever considered a Jewish conversion until he came up out of the water. So complete was the Gentile's conversion to the Jewish faith at that moment that a white garment would be given to him. And he would then put that white garment on, symbolic of the pledge of purity that he would live the rest of his life for Jehovah God. Something else you must understand before we piece this first point together, is that there was a common prayer among free Jewish men of that day. Every Jewish man said it. Every Jewish man knew it. Here's how it went. They'd offer daily thanks to God, quote, for not making me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. It's interesting here that Paul uses the same statement to show the reverse. Let's piece this together about sharing in the family of God, that Paul's reminding the Galatian Christians that when they took their faith in Christ to the baptismal, something marvelous occurred, that all barriers were ripped down at that point. We became one family. We were all made children of God through the promise of Abraham. We all became one in Christ. All the male and female and Christians, all the free and slave Christians, all the Jew and Gentile Christians, all the black and white, big and small, tall and short, sick and healthy, rich and poor, all entered into one family of God, and that's who we are as the church. If you can't amen that, then I need... That's who we are in the church. Now, amen that. We're the family of God. Being a child of God means that we share in one another. Just go look at the one another verses. That's about us. I have access to you. You have access to me. We're all one happy family. That's about sharing. And when we're a child of God, if I share God as my Father and you have God as my Father, that makes you my sister or brother. That's called family. That's the highest term of endearment we could ever have. It isn't Dr. So-and-so. It isn't Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. That's a high honor. It is brother or sister. If there's, you don't even have to know anybody else's name. If you know their faith, call them brother or sister. You've already fulfilled the greatest act of love of words that could ever roll off your tongue. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. How you doing? Because when we say, hey, brother, hey, sister, we're saying, hey, father. Because that's our connection. So being part, being a child of God means that we share in the family of God. But not only that, being a child of God means we share in the freedoms of God. Galatians 4, 1 through 4. Now, I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything. He is under, but he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, under Jewish law, after you passed the age of 12, you became a son or daughter of the law. And under Greek law, you became a man at age 20. At age 18, they would put you into the as a cadet, not like Air Force Academy, but that's where the word comes from. They would put you in a program run by the state, and that two-year period, at the end of the 2 years you were 20, you were a man. I'm a man. I graduated the state school. That's how you did it under Greek. Under Roman law, a boy became a man between the ages of 14 and 17. And here's how they did it. You had a child's toga, and you had a man's toga. Dad would give you a man's toga. Say, here he is. You present his son as a man. In all cultures, there is and was a designated time to grow up and be responsible. One of the things, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, as a child. When I became a man, I put away those childish things. They actually had a custom under the Romans where when a man would become a boy, one of the things they would do is called the putting away of childish things, where you would actually take a ball or a doll, if you were male or female, and you had to offer that to Apollos, the god Apollos. That was called putting away of childish things, putting away your toy, and becoming a man. We all have cultures about that. And the point I'd like to make here is that prior to Paul coming and preaching the gospel of salvation to the Galatians, they were living a pagan lifestyle. They were living a life of a child. Galatians 4:8, however, at the time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no God. You were under a different God system. And when they came to Christ, they were freed from slavery of sin and death. The bondage was broken. The shackles fell off. That's what Christ did for them. He freed them. The problem was they went beyond that. They tried to go all the way to the law of Moses and succumb to the acts of the law. This put them at risk of slavery to the law. Galatians 4, 9 through 11 says, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it you turn your back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days, months, and seasons, and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. We become a child of God. When you came up out of those waters of baptism, you not only share in the family of God, you share in the freedoms of God. God has freed you from many things that need to be discussed. We are free to walk with Him in every step of the way. He blazes a trail for us. He's the trailblazer. He says, here you go. I've cut a path. Walk in the light as I am in the light. I free you to do that. Before, at best, you try your best. How can you walk in the light if you don't know you're in the light? How do you serve God in sincerity and truth if you don't know you're saved? We can go to bed at night knowing that we've been freed from our sins to serve Him the rest of our life. He throws that point around some in Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Don't go under that again. 5 verse 13, he says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Being a child of God means that you're freed to live an open and honest life through His Son. He freed you. You can look in the mirror and say, I'm looking at a free man in Christ. 1 John 5, verse 2, we know that we're children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. You're free to do so. God hereby gives you permission to follow Him. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth. And what will that truth do? Set you free. You've been freed. Now walk in freedom. You're a child of God. Endlessly share that freedom. Remind each other as you're sharing the family, share the freedom. Go to that brother or sister in Christ. Say, Christ freed you from your sins. Don't walk in them now. You're free to run from your sins. You don't have to walk in them anymore. You're free to love one another. You're free to worship Him in sincerity and in truth. You're free to look in the mirror and say, I'm looking at someone cleansed by the blood of Christ. You have a lot of freedoms in Christ. And we share in those freedoms being a son or daughter of God. But then there's another one. Being a child of God means we share in the Spirit of God. We share in the Spirit of God. Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. When we're born into the kingdom of God, Jesus said that man must be born of water and spirit to enter into the kingdom. When you were born into the kingdom of God, it came with a full inheritance. And this inheritance begins with the down payment of the Holy Spirit in you. That's what the Scripture says. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible told me so. Look at Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with Him, in Him, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. The same Holy Spirit that confirmed the words by the sign that followed, He backed him up with miracles, made this word solid gold. Then the same word comes back and says that we have the Spirit in us. So does the Spirit exist in the Word or in us? I believe the answer is yes, because the Bible says so. Acts 2:38 and 39, repent therefore, everyone, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And what does the passage say? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is eternal life, and I believe that eternal life is promised when that earnest of our redemption is put down in us. The promises to you and to your children and all that be afar off, as many as the Lord God shall call. We that are the children of God, we share the Spirit of God in many ways. Think about all the things that we share. Okay? We have potluck sometimes. We share out of the same common pot. You know, one of you might come over and say, Doug, you have a tool I could borrow? Sure, you can share that. Hey, can I bum a ride from you? We share a vehicle. You might come over, share a living room. You know, there's a lot of different things we can share. I don't think there's anything more important than we can share than the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Wow. Look what we do together. We must understand that through the same Spirit we share the resurrection from the dead. You and me, all of us, we're going to die. And we're going to go into the ground or be cremated or evaporated or whatever you choose. You're going to die. And God's going to try to bring you back. And guess how He's going to bring you back, Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. God's using the Holy Spirit to bring us back from the dead. Whew, that's one less thing off my mind now. I was trying to figure out how I was going to get out of the grave. God took care of that with the Holy Spirit. We must understand that it's through the same Spirit we share in our prayers unto God. Romans 8:26-27, the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be too deep for words. King James, groanings which cannot be uttered. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I want to make application here. I know that, you know, the Blaine family is going through quite a bit. I know that Jeannie is going through quite a bit. Those of you who know Sarah, it probably rips at your heart of what she's going through. And sometimes you get down on your knees and you pray and you don't even know what to pray for. You don't even, sometimes the words just come out like that. Doesn't it do you well to know that when those moments come where we're at the end of our rope and we don't know what's going on, that you and me and everyone in the family of God who has the Spirit of God can pray, and the Holy Spirit says, I fully understand. Let me explain. I fully speak groans. Holy Spirit speaks fluent groaning. You ever have your heart broke so bad where you just go, God, and you just cry? Holy Spirit says, I know how to say it. He intercedes for us. He takes it to the throne of God. That's better than AOL. That's better than Comcast and Fios altogether. We have Godos. Takes it right to the throne. We understand that through the same Spirit we share the eternal blessings as well as the sufferings of Christ. Romans 8:15-17, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Where did we hear that before? For the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, pay attention, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified with Him. Think about that. Being a child of God definitely confirms that we're sharing in the Spirit of God. We share the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know how He does it, but I know He does. The phrase Abba is Aramaic for Father. Simply put, combined with the latter Father, it's Father, Father, da, da. It's the most intimate way you could say Father. Picture a young child, just a little two-year-old who fell down, has gotten back up. His dad is there. I remember one time one of my kids fell down and scraped their neck. I was the only one that was there. I remember the little child going, "Dada!" Picture that. That's you. Abba, Father. God, I'm intimately close to you. You're intimately close to me. My Father is the phrase that best communicates it. Let me give you this closing thought. We've already talked about how we share in the family of God, the freedoms of God, and the Spirit of God. Talking about this Abba Father, it was a phrase that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane. That in mind, let us allow Jesus to communicate a closing point. Mark chapter 14, 32. You can turn to it if you wish. I might have it behind me. They came to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Keep here and watch." He went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray as if it were possible the hour might pass by him. He was saying, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father. All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but thy will." At the very moment of the greatest distress, I think, that Jesus would have, as Hebrews says, that he offered prayers and supplications with loud crying to him who can save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience. He took it right to the cross. But what happened before that? He was moving to that Abba Father moment where he's facing great despair. He knows what's coming up. And the human side of Jesus that we love and appreciate and connects us to God reached out to God and said, "My Father, you're there. Help me." That's what it's about, being a child of God. There's nothing you could ever face in this life that you can't take to God. Being a child of God can mean many things, but for us in this lesson, it's about sharing. Three things that we share intimately and passionately. We share in the family of God. We should love one another to death. We share in the freedoms of God. We should be rejoicing over the freedom that we have in Christ together. And we share in the Spirit of God. God thought of you and me and all of us so much. He loves us so much. He put a down payment in us as an earnest of redemption. We share in the Spirit of God. Three things that we must never, ever forget. If you're a son of God or a child of God, praise God because you have this. And it all began at the moment you came up out of the water. That's where Paul started this. But for the Christian, you have to become, or for the non-Christian, you have to become a child of God. Now I know there's people here that have been studying, people here who are very close to making the decision to be baptized. You don't have to clip your fingernails and your hair. You don't have to strip down naked. It's not like that. You don't even have to do it right now in front of everybody. But you need to do it. I want to share with you as the family of God. I want you in the family. God wants you in the family. So we can share one another, our lives. We can share the joys and the sorrow and the griefs and the celebrations that we have. But you have to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Come up and know that Christ has clothed you. I want to share with you the freedoms that we can have in Christ. But if you didn't become a child of God, you can't have that. I want to share that with you. Christ wants us to share it with you, and vice versa. I want to share in the Spirit of God. And that's what Christ wants us to share in well. So, if you're scared to come up this morning and to be baptized, we have the water there. If you believe in God and you want to entrust your soul, and you're willing to do it right now, great. If you have to wait till afterwards and pull me off a side and say, psst, come here. I'll come here and let's talk about it. But don't leave without knowing you're a son of God or a daughter of God. Be a child of God today when you leave here. Don't put it off anymore. Make that decision today while we stand and sing.